From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news, first headlines. The President emphasizes the unity of vision and mission of the onwards Indonesia cabinet. Indonesia calls for NAM countries to enforce the principle of multilateralism. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reiterated to all ministers and ministerial-level officials not to work based on the vision and mission of the ministers. All presidential aides must work with one vision and mission of the president and vice president. He said this when chairing the first plenary cabinet session at the Merdeka Palace on Thursday in the presence of Vice President Maruf Amin and all ministers of onwards Indonesia cabinet. That there is no vision and mission of the minister. What exists is the vision and mission of the president and vice president. So there is a legal umbrella. If it has been decided at the meeting, so do not let it discuss it outside again. Please, the crowd only in the meeting. I want the debate in the meeting, and I listen. But if it has been decided, we must carry out all the risk. In addition, the head of state also stressed that all ministers must work together in a single unit, not per sector. Jokowi did not want his ministers move independently without any coordination and communication with the coordinating minister. The Indonesian government at the ministerial level meeting at the Non-Aligned Movement, NAM, in Baku, Azerbaijan, called on NAM member countries to take part in trying to uphold the principle of multilateralism. The written statement of the Indonesian embassy in Baku, which was received in Jakarta on Thursday, stated that the appeal was delivered by the Indonesian delegation in the NAM meeting, which was a preparatory meeting of the Non-Aligned Movement on October 25-26, 2019 summit in Baku, Azerbaijan. The Indonesian ambassador to Azerbaijan, Husnan Bey Panani, who represented the Indonesian delegation at the meeting, stressed the importance of the principle of multilateralism. He added, NAM country must unite to find solutions to global issues. The ministerial level meeting of the Non-Aligned Movement, which was held on October 23-24, was attended by the representatives from at least 46 Non-Aligned Movement member countries from Africa, Asia-Pacific, Europe and Latin America. Defense Minister Prabowo Subianto said he would continue the programs of the previous Defense Minister Riamizat Riyakudu in strengthening the Indonesian Armed Forces to safeguard the sovereignty and of the Unitary Republic of Indonesia. The statement was delivered by Prabowo Subianto in his remarks during the handover of the Minister of Defense at the Jakarta Ministry of Defense office on Thursday. In the Ministry of Defense farewell, Defense Minister Prabowo Subianto expressed his gratitude for the welcome he received with a grand ceremony. Meanwhile, Priya Mirzayakudu also asked Prabowo to continue the Ministry of Defence programs in counteracting terrorism and radicalism. The government will continue to combine domestic and international financing to anticipate the possible increasing of the state budget deficit in 2019. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said at the Presidential Palace on Thursday, her side will continue to combine domestic and international financing. According to Indrawati, the widening deficit was due to the smaller growth in revenues compared to spending, which is being driven by the ongoing weakening of the global economy. She said she has issued a ministerial decree regarding the possible increase in the budget deficit. The ministry has recorded the state budget deficit as of August 31st at 199.1 trillion rupees, or 1.23% of GDP. State revenues during the period were 1,189.3 trillion rupees, or 54.9% of the target set at 2,165.1 trillion rupees for the 2019 state budget. Budget spending has reached 1,388.3 trillion rupiahs. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Young Entrepreneurs Association, HIPMI, is optimistic that the new Head of Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, Bahlil Lahadalia, will be able to divide Vietnam over the investment climate. Chairman of the Central Management Agency, HIPMI, Manardani Maming, in an official statement received in Jakarta on Friday, said that one of Bahlil's hardest tasks was to defeat Vietnam over the investment climate. The investment climate in Indonesia is considered to be less competitive due to the many regulations and overlapping rules. Previously, President Joko Widodo gave messages to 34 ministers and 4 ministers-level officials to always check for problems on the ground and find solutions. The Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, represented by expert staff for marketing and cooperation, Igede Pitana, expressed his appreciation to the government of Tabanan Regency for the implementation of the 5th Ulun Danu Beratan Festival in 2019. Igede Pitana, at the opening of the 5th 2019 Ulun Danu Beratan Festival in Ulun Danu, Tabanan Regency, Bali, said on Thursday that the festival was a medium for promotion. Pitana gave the highest appreciation to the Tabanan District Government for consistently carrying out the activity for 5 consecutive years. Pitana, through a written statement, added, "The implementation of the festival, which is routine and with certain time, is an effective means of promotion and is made as the most eagerly awaited event by tourists both domestically and abroad." The Indonesian Doctors Association ED Chairman Dr. Dayang M. Fakih hopes the collaboration of the professional organization with the Ministry of Health continues under newly appointed Minister Terawan Agus Putranto. Dr. Dayang said at the ED office in Jakarta on Thursday that this country has many problems related to the health services, so what needs to be fostered in the future is collaboration. According to Dayang, all parties must think ahead to deal with various problems faced by the health sectors in Indonesia, instead of questioning issues from the past. Currently, he said, the agenda for addressing problems of health services must become a priority, which requires strong coordination and consolidation between the Ministry of Health and the Indonesia Doctor Association. Dayang preferred to underline some priority issues in the health sector, such as the implementation of the National Health Insurance, stunting and non-communicable disease, as opposed to discussing past conflicts between Health Minister Dr. Terawan and the Indonesia Doctor Association. Well, listeners, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is Ahead of ASEAN-Korea Republic Summit. Well, listener, the ASEAN Republic of Korea Summit will take place in Busan City, South Korea, November 25th until 27. The meeting will mark the close relation between ASEAN and South Korea, which had been running since 1989. The summit will also draw out a blueprint for ASEAN-Korea relations for the next 3 decades. This was conveyed by Lee Sonam, South Korean ambassador to ASEAN based in Jakarta in the Dalat Forum held by the Jakarta Foreign Correspondent Club, JFCC, in Jakarta on Thursday. Since November 2017, there has been a change in the flow of Korean foreign policy through the New Southern Policy. The implementation of the New Southern Policy focuses on 3 P's, people, peace, and prosperity. Especially with Indonesia and ASEAN, Lim Son Nam also expressed his commitment to build an economic partnership between South Korea and ASEAN, which is led by Indonesia, equivalent to 4 powerful countries around it. The close relationship between ASEAN and South Korea will strengthen cooperation in the fields of labor exchanges, technology, and cultural arts. He also hopes to build a community of mutual prosperity through mutual economic cooperation with Indonesia, and to further contribute to peace throughout Asia by security cooperation. The Belt and Road Trade Forum is targeted to reach $30 billion by 2022 and more than $50 billion in the long run. How about North Korea? In the 33rd ASEAN Summit in Singapore in November 2018, President of Republic of Indonesia Joko Widodo proposed that leader of North Korea Kim Jong-un be invited to the 30th anniversary of ASEAN-South Korea cooperation this November. According to President Joko Widodo, the invitation will encourage peace and stability on the Korean Peninsula. He also encouraged the meeting to make North Korea be committed to a nuclear-free Korea Peninsula. For 5 decades, Indonesia has established bilateral relations with North Korea and fully supports the ongoing peaceful situation on the Korean Peninsula. Although it was mentioned that he would attend the summit, until now there is no certainty whether leader Kim Jong-un will fulfill the invitation. There is still 1 month ahead to improve communication between the parties' diplomacy towards North Korea so that the 33rd ASEAN summit will be able to run optimally. We hope that Indonesia can play a strategic role in this matter. In the end, the ASEAN Republic Korea summit will bring peace to the ASEAN region, to the current Venezuela, including the international world. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our regular segment of Today in History of Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on October 25, 1945. 6,000 troops of Allied from Division 49, led by Brigadier General Albertine Walter Southern Mallaby, landed in Surabaya to disarm Japanese soldiers. General Mallaby's forces were part of Allied forces of Netherlands East Indies. The Allied forces were dispatched to Indonesia after World War II finished to disarm the weapons of Japanese soldiers and to free prisoners of war of Japan. In addition, they were on duty to return Indonesia to be East Indies under the Dutch and Netherlands Indies Civil Administration control. Mallaby, who led his forces, entered Surabaya on October 25, 1945. De Gaulle got resistance from Indonesian forces because AFNI, or Allied Forces of Netherlands East Indies, demanded them to hand over their weapons, which had been seized by Indonesia's side first from Japan. Armed conflict happened between the two forces. One of them occurred on October 30, 1945, near Jembatan Merah, or Red Bridge, Surabaya. The fight killed General Mallaby.
the kill of General Mallaby triggered the issuance of British ultimatum and the explosion of the battle on November 10, 1945, which was remembered as Heroic Day. The next event is that in 1962, Nelson Mandela was sentenced to 5 years in prison. Nelson Mandela was a figure who was quite known throughout the world. He was warrior of the independence through anti-apartheid event and then became president of South Africa. Mandela persistently fought apartheid law, which made black people be the second-class citizens. He joined in National Congress of Africa and along with Walter Sisulu and Oliver Tambo led peace protests against apartheid. Because of his activity which was anti-apartheid, he was sentenced several times in jail. On August 5, 1962, Mandela was arrested and jailed in Johannesburg Fort, and then October 25, 1962, he was sentenced 5 years in jail, and on June 12, 1964, he and other activist groups were sentenced to life in prison. In February 1990, Nelson Mandela was freed from jail. In 1993, along with President F.W. de Klerk, he was awarded Peace Nobel. And the last event is that in 2010, an earthquake on Mentawai Island killed 415 casualties. On October 25, 2010, an earthquake with magnitude 7.7 Richter scale occurred at Sumatra seashore, Indonesia. United States Geological Survey declared that an earthquake happened on 21:42 local time, around 240 kilometers off West Bengkulu, close to Mentawai Island. United States Geological Survey also reported the epicenter of the earthquake occurred in the depth of 206 kilometers. Based on Pacific Tsunami Warning Center, the earthquake caused tsunami as high as 3 to 10 meters, and at least 77 villages were destroyed. 415 people were killed and 296 missing. That was Today in History.
Mungkin kata
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vnews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia for today's edition is Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry Economies. Great welcome, the composition of economic ministers. Indonesian President Joko Widodo officially installed members of Indonesia on World Cabinet for the 2019 until 2024 period at the State Palace on Wednesday. Accompanied by Vice President Ma'ruf Amin, President Joko Widodo installed 34 ministers and 4 ministerial-level officials. Businessmen and economists highlighted in particular the ranks of economic ministers. President Joko Widodo has appointed Erlangga Hartarto as Coordinating Minister for the Economy, Sri Mulyani as Minister of Finance, Agus Suparmanto as Minister of Trade, and Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita as Minister of Industry. The Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, or KADIN, welcomed the formation of Cabinet of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Ma'ruf Amin in the 2019 until 2024 period. KADIN considered that the formation is the best choice that must be respected and supported by all parties for the progress of the nation and state. Chairperson of the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Rosan Ruslani, said that his party appreciates the achievements of the government so far and welcomes the cabinet composition chosen by the president. As a partner, KADIN will strengthen synergy with the government, especially in the implementation of a number of programs that will be run by the new cabinet and strive to make Indonesia a developed country. With 320 million rupiah income per capita in 2045. The Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, or KADIN, also assessed that the formation of Jokowi Ma'ruf Amin cabinet in the 2019 until 2024 period can answer various challenges that still characterize the Indonesian economy. Rosan Ruslani is optimistic that the formation of a new cabinet can reduce the problem of the current account deficit, the trade balance deficit and budget deficit, business licensing issues, poverty problems, the quality of human resources, structural fundamentals such as efficiency, productivity and employment. Meanwhile, economists of Center of Reform on Economics, or CHOR, Indonesia, Yusuf Randy Manilet, said the appointment of some ministers in the economic field has appropriate, including the election of Erlangga Hartarto as Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs and Sri Mulyani Indrawati, who returned to the post of Finance Minister. Yusuf Randy Manilet also said the two names have had a lot of experience in the bureaucracy. These can add value and will facilitate Erlangga and Sri Mulyani in the next work process. With this experience, the execution of policies directed by President Joko Widodo could be done more quickly and relies. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Ahmad Faisal.
suaramu yang tak tentu arah. Tak tahu apa yang kau cari, semua tak pasti. Karisma menghilang, tak tahu apa yang terjadi, semua tak pasti.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder. In today's edition, I present Roti Gambang to you. Listener, October 16th, 2019 coincides with World Bread Day. CNN.com released the list of the 50 best breads in the world. The best breads are curated by pastry chef, who is also a travel and culinary writer, Jan Rose Smith. These 50 best breads were chosen because of their unique ingredients, iconic status, and simplicity in eating bread. One of chosen breads included in the list is roti gambang or gambang bread. Roti gambang is a typical snack of Betawi, which is also known in Semarang, Central Java. People of Semarang know it as roti ganjel rel or rel block bread because of its hard texture. Roti gambang has existed from the Dutch colonial era and was popular until the 1990s. At that time, roti gambang was liked by all people, children, and the elderly. Roti gambang has hard and compact texture mixed with chocolate aroma and cinnamon. The color is brownish, with a sprinkling of sesame on it. The bread is made of spices from Indonesia, such as cardamom, cinnamon, mixed with flour, palm sugar, and eggs. Due to its hard texture, just eating two pieces of bread can make us full. At the tradition before Ramadan or Dukderan celebration, this bread also being scrambled for people in Semarang. The local people believe that by eating roti gambang can give more energy to the fasting. Listener, besides for daily consumption, Betawinese people in Jakarta usually bring roti gambang when visiting sick people. It is usually sold in the morning and evening because it is an appropriate time to eat roti gambang. The bread is usually enjoyed with a cup of coffee or warm tea. Now it's quite difficult to find the legendary bread because some of factories that produce roti gambang have gone out of business. But there are still a few vendors who sell roti gambang. The price of roti gambang is relatively cheap, about 4,000 rupiah to 5,000 rupiah per piece. Listener, that's the end of Indonesian Wonderful Today's edition entitled Roti Gambang. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Semakin menyerang kalaulah ku dapat membaca pikiranmu dengan sayap harapanku ingin terbang jauh. Biar awan pun gelisah, daun-daun jatuh berguguran, namun cintamu kasih terbit laksana bintang yang bersinar cerah menerangi jiwaku. Andaikan ku dapat Andaikan ku dapat mengungkapkan perasaanku hingga membuat kau percaya, akan ku berikan seutuhnya rasa cintaku selamanya, selamanya.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello listeners, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Miss Eleni. Today, Citizen will inform you ITS students win 2 awards in Taiwan. Stay tuned. Indonesian students regained their achievement at the Taiwan Innotex Expo 2019 event. The students from 10 November Institute of Technology, ITS, are Reza Aulia, Rian Tama, and Afif Purwandi. They have created an innovative machinist fatigue detector called Machinist Fatigue Detector. This innovation won 2 awards at the same time at the event last September. Taiwan Innotex Expo 2019 is annual HIUC event in Taiwan, which is participated in by companies, associations, and students from all over the world. The event, which lasted for 3 days at TWTC Exhibition Hall 1, Taiwan, carried the theme Sustainability Innovative Invention Future Technology. The Machinist Fatigue Detector, which won a silver medal at the Korea International Youth Olympiad, Idea, Innovation, Invention, and Intellectual Property last year, has been upgraded from previously detecting driver drowsiness through eye movements. Now, the detector uses a new method which can detect sleepiness through heart rates. This innovation is also accompanied with real-time control over the level of fatigue of a machinist. The detector team leader, Reza, explains, "The workings of the tool are to detect the fatigue and drowsiness of the machinist and to give vibrations. This tool can find someone who is tired or sleepy through processing by a computer on the basis of combination of eye blinks and heart rates." Reza added that if the machinist indicates to be sleepy, this tool will vibrate to wake up its users. In addition, this tool can also detect fatigue and sleepiness in real time through online via the website. So hopefully, the control center can find out the machinist's condition directly. With this new detection method innovation, the detector won an honorable mention at the event. Although this tool can be considered common, the method we use is new. There are detection of heart rate and eye blink. Another award obtained is the special award from the Korean Innovation Promotion Association, because according to the association, this discovery has great potential to be implemented in a larger market. This can be applied not only in train but also in other transportation sectors. In the future, Reza hopes that this detector can be implemented in the world of railroad and can be useful for the community. At present, Reza and his team are still trying to obtain a patent process for this tool. That was miscellany for today about ITS students won 2 awards in Taiwan. Thanks for listening.
Bangun dari tidurku dan merasakan sepi.
Voice of Indonesia.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play a original song from East Nusa Tenggara entitled Caca Marica. Caca Marica is a regional song from East Nusa Tenggara province, which is well known among Indonesian people. It is due to its interesting rhythm, which attracts teachers of kindergarten or elementary school when they teach how to sing. The song Caca Marica is categorized as a cheerful song, even though the song tells about parents who look for their kid. The cheerfulness of the song interprets about togetherness and friendship between parents and their kids. Well, Let's listen to Caca Marica sung by Elva Singer.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
From Indonesia to the world.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention, and after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via onenews.id.